I call to order at 6:01 p.m. the monthly water district meeting on 3/10/2026. Lisa, here. Rod?
Here.
Teresa?
Here.
Eileen?
Here.
All board members are present. We have Curtis and somebody else from Highland, Beth, Kelly, Patty, Mullen, and someone named Michael. Did everyone have a chance to look at the consent agendas that Kelly did? And does anyone have any questions?
I took a quick look at them. They all look pretty good to me. So I'll motion to approve them if we need to.
I'll second that motion.
Lisa, yes. Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is Curtis.
Good evening, everybody. I'll introduce the woman behind me. This is Jessica Perryman. She's in compliance, so chances are a lot of you have emailed with her over the past. She's one of our up and coming operation managers, field supervisors type roles. So she's just sitting in the board meeting for the experience of it. So yeah, now I'll get to the rest of the operation report. As far as water pumped and sold, we are almost identical in February and January, both around the 370,000 gallon mark. So everything looked to run really similar. Reservoir overflow rates almost identical. So no change in the spring, no change in the water available, and no change in the demand. Chlorine residual held strong through the month. There was a small spike just after Valentine's Day. Never crossed 1.0, so I would be surprised if the residents were able to notice it. But it's been above our threshold and the sample's been passing. Speaking of samples, we did take the PFAS sample with the EQ. I'll take just a second to talk about PFAS for a second so the board, if there's any kind of gaps, hopefully, and help fill those. PFAS is the forever chemical that has been circulating around in like news articles and stuff. It's a whole bunch of things like fire hydrant, retardant, pharmaceuticals, caffeine. And so anything that a traditional water treatment plant is not designed to remove. Some of the stuff like caffeine, not particularly harmful. Some of it's considered carcinogens. And so I don't know if it's just the state of Oregon or the US in its entirety, but they are looking at changing to make PFAS a required maximum contaminant that you are monitoring and possibly removing. That will probably be coming into effect next year or the year after. We'll see how much pushback they get. But the premise of it is right now, State of Oregon, EPA, DEQ, they're offering to come and take tests at their cost. We have the cost of obviously taking the test, so there's some time involved with that. But to try and get both a borderline and also start to see which water systems would potentially be at risk of a higher count of PFAS and PFOA. So the initial test was done in early February. Chances are we'll get the results back late March, early April. These tests take a long time. I don't think there's a lab in Oregon that can do the test, so they'll get shipped out. But when the tests come back, then we can share the results and go over them. And hopefully the spring water means that you guys are clear.
There will be a required second set to that test in 5 to 7 months.
Okay.
Or five to, yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
What, 5 to 7 months? Is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Are there any questions about the PFAS and PFOA? No, cool. Move on.
I've got one question. If in fact it becomes a problem, well, how do you get rid of it?
So the most common practice is granular activated carbon, or they call it GAC or PAC. Essentially, it is a specialized filter, kind of like how we can use green sand to remove iron. This is specifically something that removes really small materials like the pharmaceuticals. The caveat with it is the material is very expensive. So granular activated carbon is very expensive. And it doesn't only remove pharmaceuticals. It's like a very, very fine screen that will pull out everything, including that. And so the most cost-effective way, so to speak, of running that system, if we're in a position that we would need to look into it, would be put in some kind of preliminary filter to remove as much as possible, and at the tail end, put in a granular activated carbon setup. A lot of people are going through to see what other options there are, but that's the most common one I've heard of, especially some of the larger plants. The city of Wilsonville, who's operated by Jacobs, they've got massive, massive treatment plant that pulls out of the river. And they just plan every 2 years, they spend $750,000 on granular activated carbon as just part of the doing business. So,
Any of our neighbors tested for this?
do we have your neighbors? Like the
Our
neighboring water system?
neighbor water districts.
Yeah.
Who in particular has?
I'm sure I could reach out to DEQ and get a list as far as the clients that we operate. I could check on that. But I wouldn't want to say something incorrectly.
Okay. I'm just interested. That's fine.
Yeah, no, we've been taking these tests from water systems all over the state of Oregon. Kelly, did you
Thanks.
have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. So if we get a baseline, and it looks pretty good, and then after our construction phase, if we get a test and it's gone up, and we maybe can assume that maybe some of the materials in the construction might contribute, what would we do about that? Same thing.
In this theory, then yes, it would be the same thing, but the issue wouldn't be per se having one hit. So if we use construction materials, and I don't know how they'd get contaminated with something like estrogen, testosterone, or caffeine, but if for some reason they did.
No, but there's PFAS in water repellents, glues.
I think for right now, we should just let these tests come back. I think the other thing to keep in mind is that our water is a spring. It's filtered down through the rocks. As far as contaminants, we don't have, we're not in a city setting where we've got all of these things being flushed into the ground. Anyways, I don't see that it's going to be that big of an issue. And then the other comment I'd like to make, I've got a house full of dogs tonight, and I've got a grandchild here. So I'd really appreciate it if we could try to keep this to an hour. Just because I kind of got my hands full. So that's all I'm going to say on that one. Thank you.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to bring back the results at the meeting in April for, or yeah, at the meeting in April or May, and we can talk through those. Some of the smaller things that happened this month, we had a home on Gladys called in saying low water pressure. By the time the tech got out there, problem was fixed. We never did figure out what was going on there. It was only from the one home. So that was a bit of an oddity. And then there was some work done. The sanitary survey pointed out that the venting on the reservoir, some of the mesh was either missing or broken. It's supposed to be screened. And so we went through and repaired that. So that was taken care of also. It's just a sanitary survey follow-up item. And then the last one I wanted to bring up on my list is these 2 meters that we've been trying to replace. They are currently at Otter Rock. The meters are ready to be replaced. The technician who is going to do it has been under the weather for the past week, but he's assured me he's doing it tomorrow. So hopefully we'll get those replaced and then the faulty ones sent in early next week back to Ferguson.
So Lutz isn't done yet then. I know I talked to Corey, or I'm sorry, Cody, and he said that he was going to get that one taken care of. That's our commercial customer down by the punch bowl. So I'm assuming that one didn't get done yet either. It
The one
was
up
just
for
the
Cleveland.
head, I guess, that he needed to replace.
Yeah. No, it hasn't been done. He was trying to do it earlier this week and called out sick.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Curtis.
And that's the end of my report. I'll be sending out the copy of the operations report later tonight. Sorry for the delay.
Does anyone have any questions for Curtis before he leaves?
Nope.
For me.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, thanks,
Have a
Curtis.
good night. Thank you
Thanks.
all.
Nice to meet you,
Bye.
Jessica.
Nice to meet you guys.
Next on the agenda is the Treasurer and Office Report, Eileen.
Okay, the Treasury report for February 2026. Let's see, our general checking account is uncleared was $2,318.25. The QuickBook register balance is $46,340.92. First Security of Washington ending balance is $48,469.17, which balances out if you take into consideration the uncleared. The total deposits were $13,560. Total withdrawals were $86,888.62. That was that big check that we sent to Civil West for Business Oregon invoices. Community centers unchanged at $422.79. Our reserve fund total deposits $349.63. Register balance is $113,196.29. System Development Fund deposits this month were $304.79. QuickBook register balance for this one is $98,681.01. And all of those accounts reconciled. Our accounts receivable balance is a negative $11,074. Our QuickBook current assets are $247,567.01. And then our accounts payables to pay. We have, let's see, we have accounts payable to approve is $15,497.47. No, I'm sorry, I take that back. We've approved $10,781 of that. That's the Business Oregon invoices to Civil West. So accounts payable to pay is $4,716.47. So, there's your report. I don't know that I really have anything else to add on the Treasury report for this month. Any
Make
questions?
notes. No, but I will make a motion to accept your treasury report.
I
And
second
pay the
that.
bills.
And pay the bills.
Yes, and pay the bills.
Lisa, yes. Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thanks, Eileen.
You're welcome.
Next on the agenda, I think, is also Eileen with the Budget Committee appointments, officer, and committee members.
So I guess we need to appoint a budget committee officer, and I'm assuming it's probably going to be me, unless somebody else.
Oh, I say we appoint Eileen as the budget committee
I was going to at
officer.
least off have in somebody else raise their hand if they wanted
You're so funny.
to.
I
Okay.
nominate Eileen as a budget committee officer.
And then, as far as our budget committee volunteers, so far we have Beth. Thank you, Beth. And we have Kelly. Thank you, Kelly.
Have
And
you tried Pat Murray again? She was fine doing it last year.
you know, I didn't reach out to her, and I thought, are you still doing horses with her?
I can ask her.
Why don't you ask her, Teresa?
I will.
Yeah, I did run into the Mullins and the Harts and asked them, but they said that they would rather not. So
No, they said no, thank you.
they said no, thank you. So
Yeah, I'll ask it, Pat Murray.
okay, thanks, Teresa.
You bet.
We need a second on Teresa's nomination of Eileen to be the budget committee
I second the
person.
nomination for Eileen for the budget committee. Officer.
Officer.
Officer, excuse me.
Lisa, yes. Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Thank you, Eileen. And I have been asking people, including the new people in Mahala, that I can't remember their names, and they said no, thank you. But I have been asking, so just
Okay, well, thank
whenever.
you.
Well, you're welcome.
I guess as far as the volunteers, we can do that at the first meeting on whenever I've scheduled it for, which I haven't set in stone yet.
Yeah, you mean like swearing them in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll get to that.
Well, thank you. I know it's a big, heavy lift, and I really appreciate you stepping up. Next on the agenda is the community center tables. Teresa.
So what, yeah, so I brought up last month. I really do think they're a safety issue because they're so heavy. I'd like to replace them. We do have some budget. Amazon has a decently rated 6 foot plastic table, foldable plastic table for they're like $56 a piece. So to replace all six of the current ones we have there would be $336. I believe we have 400 and something in the budget. And then also, of course, we'd have to pay to dispose if Habitat doesn't take them. Rod has graciously said he will haul them wherever, but if Habitat won't take them, then we'll need to haul them to the dumps, and there'll be a fee for that, of course. But I don't know what that would be.
7 cents a pound.
Seventh, yeah, but I don't know what they weigh, huh, Rod. So that'd be a little bit of a unknown. I don't know how we would handle that in terms of approval.
Well, we've got $422 in that community fund. And I guess that's a separate question is do we want to just use that fund to pay for the tables and pay for the disposal if necessary and close that account? That account just sits there.
Well, that is my question. Do we want to do that?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of two separate questions. Do we want to use the funds from the community center, which I think is appropriate? And would we like to just pull those funds and if there's a balance, just move it into the checking account?
Well, let's start with the first one, if that's okay.
Sure.
So.
So
I make a motion that Teresa purchases the tables from the Amazon and that if we need to have. If we can't give them away to Habitat for Humanity, that we pay the dumping fees for the disposal of the six tables.
I
Great. I
second the
second
motion.
that. Okay, Lisa, yes. Rod.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
Eileen.
Yes.
Motion passes.
A quick question, Teresa, are you just going to buy them and get
Yeah,
reimbursed?
I'll just buy them and then you
Okay.
can reimburse me.
Okay.
So can I get a motion to after we clear all the expenses and pay and all the checks have cleared to close any remaining balance and transfer the money into the checking account so we can close out that community center account?
Well, I just wonder if we don't want to have a community center account. You just don't know what things are going to come up. And like we had to replace the roof, didn't that have to be come out of that account? Or no,
No.
only a building
No.
fund account? Probably not. I don't know.
Eileen, you're our expert. If you think that we don't need that account, then I'm fine with closing it.
I don't really know what that account was really set up for, other than I know that, sometimes if people use a community center, they will leave like a little bit of money, for whatever reason. And I think that's what is in that account. So, yeah, I mean, it's not costing us anything. So if you want to leave it open, we could leave it open. It's not that big of a deal. So, but it just seems to kind of sit there at that one amount. So.
I don't know, it seems to me that we haven't used it in how long?
Be a lot less now.
5, 10 years. So it's almost like it's not doing anything. Nobody's going to reimburse it or put money into the account. So I guess I'm in favor of eliminating it.
Do you want to make a motion, Rod?
I'm making a motion to eliminate the account.
I'll second it.
Lisa, yes. Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Okay. Next on the agenda is meter monitoring.
So, Beth passed this on to me, and I'm sure she did a much more diligent job than I do. But I did want to at least just communicate to the board what I do in terms of meter monitoring. Typically, I have the spreadsheet. I have my own separated out from the one we get from Northwest Natural, and that's where I do all my calculations and stuff for usage, etc. As I'm reviewing the usage, if it isn't over 15,000 gallons, I don't really pay attention to it. If it's like there, then I'll look at, well, what time of year is it? What's their past history of usage and stuff like that. If there's some anomaly, or like sometimes we had crazy ones like 100,000 gallons usage and all that, sometimes it's a clerical error in the numbers. So I pretty much don't react to the numbers unless I see a pattern of high usage over 15,000 gallons. And so I keep a little side spreadsheet that says, keep an eye on these, and I keep an eye on them. And I've kept an eye on half a dozen or more accounts throughout the last few months, and I'm down to one that I'm tracking because it cleared up. There wasn't a problem. Maybe the homeowner found a leak. I don't know. But I'm just saying, there's no consistent pattern of high usage, so I don't worry about it if it drops off. And then the other thing that I also watch, thanks to Tom, is I watch the zeros. Where is there a zero, and is that a new zero, and why is there the zero? So I watch the zeros, and I watch anything that's over 15,000 gallons in a month for usage. And like I said, and Beth knows this too from all her many years of doing this, there are some people that just run high. And that, but that's their pattern. So I don't worry about those that run high if that's the pattern. It's when the pattern breaks that I start keeping an eye on it. And if it stays that way for 3 months, then I'll take an action. But so far, there's only been a few, and we have found them, and we've found people's leaks, but there's only been a few that have gone over that 3 month cycle of mine that I have. That's what I do. If it's not good enough, I don't know what to tell you. I'm
Well,
happy to hand it off to somebody else if they want to do it differently, but that's what I do.
that sounds completely reasonable to me, Teresa, what you're doing. So,
Okay.
yeah.
I mean, I am really appreciative, and I know Beth did this a long time ago. There's stuff on the website that says, hey, these are the things to watch. These are the common leaks that you might have in your home. So there's information out there for our community, but I really, to some extent, expect the community to be responsible for their own potential leaks within their home.
I agree.
Great. I just want to make sure you knew what I was doing. So it wasn't a surprise if, I don't know, by chance somebody said, oh, so, I saw this meter's, using 100,000 gallons, da 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 da. If there's any panic over it, we know what the quote unquote my process that I use to monitor.
Well, thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome.
Next on the agenda is to schedule a community meeting with I don't Civil West slash Vernitas. Is that what they're called now?
Verdantis. Verdantis.
Verdantis. I don't have that down yet. So I sent an email this morning again because Tim at Civil West is or Verdantis is no longer there. So Kevin is willing to have a community meeting. He said he needs about 3 to 4 weeks. And the
Yeah, I think
community.
that's, I think we want to wait till we get there next to the, till we get a design that they're ready to share until they, and we have an updated project schedule. There's a lot of holes right now. I wouldn't be comfortable. There'd be just too many questions we couldn't answer at this point.
I totally agree, but I'm very grateful that they're willing to come. And that's, I just wanted to start a dialogue in case Tim hadn't. I don't know, the handoff, I don't know how much was shared.
Yes, I agree.
So,
It's good for us to just touch. Well, you saw my list that I touched
yes,
bases with
and
them
I was
on.
very grateful for that. That was awesome. So, I'm going to send Kevin an email tomorrow morning and say, hey, as soon as we get the design kind of fleshed out, then, immediately after that, we want just on your radar.
Well,
Well, what?
I just want to say that, I do have these couple of people that I want to review it, Adam Dellinger. So I'd really like to have that all fleshed out and any of that expert feedback back into us prior to a community meeting.
I agree.
Okay.
I think that also, does it make sense for us to have a single point of contact with Kevin as well?
We
In
do.
other words, I
Kevin's.
don't know if we have multiple people asking for meetings. I
Oh,
think it should be
yeah.
one person.
Well, it's before your time, Rod, but I am the single point of contact. But Lisa and I kind of tag that. So, and even when Kevin was here before, Lisa and I tagged that. So I'm perfectly comfortable with
Okay.
that dual engagement model we have. And Lisa's going to own all the financial, the aspect of this, so it really can't just be me, even though I'm technically been approved to be the single point of contact for Verdantis.
Got it.
And that segues into the FEMA and the Business Oregon updates.
So crazy. I'm like, I'm pretty sure a month ago we were pretty much in a panic. So, yay, we are no longer in a panic. It was down to the wire. We were, as you all know, we were talking about, phasing the project so we could secure the FEMA funding for design and all that. But yay, we do not have to do any of that at this point because FEMA has approved the extension performance. Period of performance extension, POP extension, and to September of 2028. So I think it was September or November. It's in the budget committee message that'll go out to everyone. But yay. So we've got 2+ years now to finish this project before we, before the time period that FEMA expected the project to land. So we're in good shape. We hope to be, going out to bid soon, in the next 3 or 4 months, and then scheduling some construction. That's the FEMA update. Business Oregon, you probably have better feel for Lisa than I do.
I had a meeting with Business Oregon and Kevin, and Tim was on there too, for the grant for the cost share for the 30% for the design work only is they're getting it worked on, and we will have to sign some contract with them. And the way they do it is we have to pay all of FEMA invoices, and then we send those FEMA invoices to Business Oregon, and they will pay 10% of it for our cost share.
Oh, okay.
After we get paid from FEMA. So, and it's only
Yikes.
for the design right now. We have to go through that whole process again for the construction part whenever we get that go ahead from Shannon that, I don't know how that's going to work yet,
Okay, so that's for the cost share. So they're basically going to loan us the cost share money.
correct. Yeah, it's a grant.
Okay.
Well, it's a grant. So, yeah, they're giving us the cost share money.
Oh, they're giving us the cost share money.
They're
That's
giving us,
exciting.
yes.
Very nice.
Yes,
Yoo-hoo.
it's a grant. So, it'll come out
Nice.
with a grant, and we'll have to have an emergency meeting to approve the if it doesn't fall out in a timely manner, we'll have to have an emergency meeting to approve the contract. It'll be, boilerplate like they are, like their other one was. So, I
Awesome.
don't think it has to go to a lawyer. We just have to sign it and give it back to them. And so as soon as we get the first reimbursement from FEMA, which I don't know where we're at with that, we'll have to send
Great.
that payment to Business Oregon so they can give us the 10% on that, whatever we asked for. I can't remember.
Okay. Excellent. Great.
And that's all I that's they've been sending emails to Kevin about the bid contract or the
Yeah, I
bid,
saw that.
yeah, the requirements for the bid and stuff like that. So Kevin's well aware of the requirements, and he sent it all to his people, and we're not there yet, but yeah, it's
Verdantis owns that, so I wouldn't have to do anything there. Verdantis will send them the bid documents for approval.
correct. Does anyone have any questions before we move on? Because this is a big subject. No? Okay. Next is the core sampling costs and a need for a supplemental budget, probably.
Yeah, we probably got to get an update from Verdantis, right, on those costs before we can do the supplemental budget. And they do have that task on their list of tasks to do. So hopefully we'll get that within a week.
And until then, I don't think we can do anything because we don't know how much it's going to cost.
Correct.
Beth and I sat at the office the other day because we're starting to look at the whole budget process. And we did talk about the supplemental budget, the need for, and I will kind of have something ready to go. But there again, like Teresa said, we really need to get a little bit more detail before we're there. So my concern with this core sampling is that it's gonna run over whatever we've agreed to with Verdantis on this whole design project. Is that gonna be a
Yeah,
problem?
we'll see. Well, that's why I want to have that. Let's get our ducks in a row meeting,
Okay.
Eileen, so we can have that conversation with Verdantis.
Okay. Are they gonna be involved on Friday?
No, I think
No.
it's just us initially. I'm too uninformed. I think I need to get a little more up to speed before I pull them in, and so
Sure.
I can ask intelligent questions.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Next on the agenda is interim financing.
Lisa, I think that's kind of you.
It is. We
Is
have
this
that.
our gap financing, Lisa? Our
Yeah, for the
bridge
construction.
financing?
Yeah, for the construction
Okay.
part of it. Yes. We, I just, Kevin is under the impression that we only have one source. We've never met with the Council of Western Government. I just sent an email before. I can't remember their name. The Beth would know it. The Water Government Council for Western Government, something or other. Government resources, I think. I don't know. I'm not in my emails. I'll have to look.
Okay, I'm looking at it, Lisa, but I'm not seeing the Oregon Cascades West Council of Governments.
Yes, those people. Tim thought they might have a lead on interim funding. If we just want to go with, I think her name was Jessica or Jennifer. I don't want to misplace her name. The one with the starts with an R.
Yeah, RCAC.
Yes. If we want to just start filling the paperwork out for that, then we'll need a board hearing, or we can meet with the Council of the Government.
It was Jessica.
Thank
I'm
you.
just
That's
looking
what I
at
thought.
this.
So we have a decision to make if we want to meet with somebody else or if we just want to go with Jessica.
Well, I think maybe we can ask Tim, not Tim, of course, sorry. We can ask Kevin because what I remember from a dialogue when I was there when Tim told, oh, I guess we didn't give that update. When Tim Gross told us he was leaving Verdantes and Kevin Shreve was coming back as our primary, our single point of contact, Tim had mentioned something about RCAC having the best rates at that meeting. And so let's ping Kevin on that, Lisa, and say, I think you already did, but let's just say, hey, is this your recommendation? Because they do have a broader knowledge of the options out there. So let's see what Kevin gives us back on that. But I was kind of encouraged because Tim had said RCAC had better rates than Business Oregon.
Okay. So we'll just figure it out, and then if we have to have an emergency meeting, we can figure that out. But we don't even have the plans yet, so I think we have a little time. I mean, but we need to make a decision soon about who we're going to go for, because we have to apply.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. That's why I'm hoping that, when we take a look at everything on Friday, just to organize it, we can say, okay, here's action items we need to, bring to the board and go from there.
So, I know I don't want us to get into this whole infrastructure project thing, but I do have a quick question. I know with these emails that we're going back and forth, it's like when this initially came about, we thought we were just going to kind of lose everything. We were going to do phasing, phase one, phase two. And from reading some of these emails, it looks like that may not be the case now. And I guess my question is, I know we've got until September of 2028 to get this project complete, but what if we can't? Do we are we able to then go into some sort of a phased
Yeah,
project?
that was my hurdle I threw out to Kevin at Verdantis in my recent email to them, Eileen, when he said, oh yay, we're done, da, 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 da. And I'm like, no, we're not done.
Okay.
Because until we get that survey information back and we know, without
Right.
a doubt that we can land a new seismic resilient tank, we've got an issue with the FEMA grant.
I
So,
agree.
yep. And so I am hoping, and I haven't gone down that road yet because first I want to, I'm pretty happy with the fact that I haven't overreacted to things because they keep kind of resolving. So I haven't gone down that road yet because I want to see what we get back from the survey.
Okay.
But
Okay.
I didn't want him, I didn't want Kevin to think, oh, there's no hurdles in our way anymore. there are still hurdles in our way, and we got to figure that out. I am probably this week going to call Shannon of OEM and just bounce the thing off of him to see what he has to say. I'm hoping because FEMA has extended that period of performance that we could phase this project wherever we wanted to, and then at a minimum be able to get FEMA if for some reason, say, we couldn't land a tank or it's going to be way longer before we can decide to land a tank, then I'm hoping that we can have a different date to phase that project and phase the design portion, a complete design portion, and then have FEMA pay for that. And then we may not be able to build it out. But that's a long discussion because then we could also potentially look at, okay, well, let's do all the infrastructure except the tank, because of course we could do that. So there's too many questions in the air right now to really, it's spinning wheels until we get more data.
I agree. I agree, Teresa. It's just, yeah. Hopefully we can get the answers. So, yeah.
Next on the agenda is the project manager RFP.
Teresa looks like she's locked. Are you there, Teresa?
I
Think we lost her.
Yeah, my internet is. Yeah, I'm here.
Well, I read her summary, and it was certainly a good summary as far as looking for somebody to do this RFP. So I don't know if anybody else had a chance to read it, but
All right, am I back?
you
No.
are.
Change my network. All right, good. Yeah, so the whole, just to finalize what I'd said about the other thing is let's just wait till we get some solid data before we decide which direction we're going to go. Yes, then the last next agenda item, which Lisa took us to, was project manager RFP. I sent that out to you all. I haven't heard anything back.
I read it, Teresa. It looks good. Yeah.
Thanks,
It,
Eileen.
well, yeah. I mean, it looks good. I mean, you're asking for qualifications from somebody. So,
Right.
I'm going to be very interested to see if you get any response once this
Yeah,
does
I
go
am
out.
going to. So, you probably saw in the email with Verdantis. Verdantis, because they are our contracted engineering's firm on call, they could potentially do this project manager piece without an RFP, without having to, go out to the whole proposal thing. That's why they're able to do the design for us. So I am going to meet with Kevin and I am going to flesh out expectations. So that was the kind of thing that I still want to add to this RFP. I want expectations clearly identified. How often are they going to review the site? How often are they going to report to us? I want them to be responsible for submitting all of the required all of the requests for reimbursements. We're volunteers. I'm not going to do that. I don't expect you to do that, Eileen. If we don't hire Verdantis, I want someone else to do that. So I still want to flesh some of those things out. I'll get a chance to do that when I sit down with Kevin and we have that discussion. And then I'm going to add that to the RFP. I still want to submit this RFP to Northwest Natural. And because I want to do that, we will have to do public notice that we are looking for a project manager for this project. I might actually even talk to Adam Denlinger and see if he might have somebody in mind. He's the water district manager for Seal Rock. So it's not a slam dunk for Verdantis. But we did get a bid, a rough bid from Northwest Natural without an RFP. And it was pretty high. It was significantly higher than Verdantis. So we need to look at all that. And this is what I will do the next round of looking at this RFP for you all, is I want to add what our expectations are from this person. So if you can just think about what do you expect from this person, and Beth, it'll probably be communications focused, Lisa or Eileen, it might be the financial piece focused. I can handle the piece in terms of the scope and the schedule.
Are you going to pursue this prior to the final design, or are you holding off until we get this design work done?
No, I'm going to pursue it fine before final design. Final design isn't that critical. I already have a scope of work of this project. And so you probably saw in the RFP there were references to certain pages, and I didn't send that out to you guys with that. But that is my compiled scope of work for this project. I have a compiled scope of work for this project.
Okay.
So I just kind of wanted to start that dialogue with y'all, let you know how I was going to proceed and see if you had any additional inputs to the RFP. There's time for that.
Okay. I'll take another look at it and give it some thought, Teresa, as far as, what else. I think the main thing is that, if somebody else is submitting this stuff for payment, that's a huge help.
I
So,
know, right?
yeah.
Right. And you have to call that out so that they can adequately, respond to the cost of it all.
Right.
Especially because this project's a little, we got FEMA and Business Oregon,
I know. Yeah.
Don't you know it?
Okay.
That's all. I just wanted to kind of get the dialogue started.
You said you're going to be reaching out to Shannon. Is that this week, Teresa?
Yeah, I'm going to reach out to Shannon just to ask him about if we, I want to be a little proactive about potentially phasing.
Okay. I know our last conversation with him, there was a batch of invoices that Tim had submitted for reimbursement from FEMA going back to like 2022. Our last conversation with Shannon was basically he was going to hold on to them because at that point we didn't know what was happening.
Okay,
But now
I
that
will.
we, if you would just ask him for me.
Absolutely, will
Yeah,
do.
if he's still going to be just holding on to them or if he's going to submit.
No, I'm
So,
going to say submit those puppies.
yeah, okay.
Give us some money.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is ordinances. I don't believe we have any. I don't believe we have any resolutions. And the next on the agenda is public comments. Alan.
Just wanted to ask you a little about prevent this is coring sampling proposal. And did they ever send the board a list of, or a proposal of what they were going to do? And could I take a look at it, being a geology professor at OSU living in Otter Rock? I'm quite familiar with the geology here and have worked, as I introduced myself last time to the board, with the number of engineering geologists. I am not an engineering geologist, but I am familiar with the geology very intensely, having worked at a number of firms and professional geological surveys. So that's my question. Would you like me to look at what they wrote? I have no idea. Is that, did they send you a proposal of where and the location of the cores are, and how deep they were proposing? Because I have been involved with coring a number of ODOT sites, etc. So I leave that to you. You guys can discuss it and think about it and let me know.
I don't think that we don't want to respond to you, Alan. I think we're still kind of waiting for the information to come to us. I think it's at this point it's gone through Verdantis, if I'm not mistaken, and they're the ones that are pursuing the core sampling. So.
Right. Well, I just would wonder if it would be worth meeting with Kevin sometime because I do have the expertise of both surface and subsurface coring here in the Newport Outer Rock area, and of course, extensive number of publications and things. And I'm a little concerned about cost overruns and where they're going with that for the community. So just keep that in mind. Maybe pass it on to Kevin. I don't even know who. Yes, I once talked to Kevin and Tim years ago, but there I talked to Buzz Beckstrom about a month ago. He told me that there has been already for the reservoirs a core report that he passed on to some engineering company in Salem that has a copy of it. So we might be doing over the same area. I'm not sure, but anyway. I'll pass that on to you. I'm flexible to help if they need help being a specialist in this area. And if you don't need me, just let me know. I've got other projects to do, so
Yeah,
that's
Alan,
fine.
we definitely appreciate your expertise in our community. And like Eileen said, we're still waiting on the report. So once we get that, we certainly can have a good healthy dialogue.
Do you know if they've already done the drilling for the cores and the sampling?
I have not seen a report yet. They've given me some feedback on that, but I haven't seen a report.
Okay, well, that be could be critical because the pr re proposal I had written and finished for the board, water board of the Innitata Crest, the original report was misinterpreted as to what the rocks and foundations were, and geologic hazards, and there were a number of them that they did not address, and so I just
I
wouldn't.
have a meeting. I have it on my list of things to do to contact Kevin this week sometime and have a dialogue about the project management stuff. So I'll bring up that report and ask him if I can get a copy of it.
I would appreciate that. Like I say, being a longtime resident here, living where the hearts are, I'm quite involved with the geology, and I'm still working contracts with ODOT and U.S. Geological Survey. So, my wife Wendy is also a geologist, and had having taught at OSU for many years, I have a pretty good knowledge base, both onshore and offshore, in terms of seismic active faults. Coming towards Otter Rock, I know a little bit about that too. So, this is something that's not been published. So, anyway,
Well, we appreciate that.
and I think Beth has my phone number. If not, Lisa should come by with her dogs walking, and I'll give her my phone number. Okay.
Works.
I
That's
do have a
lovely.
question for Alan. One quick. Is this volunteer or is this a fee for service?
Well, it depends on what they want me to do.
Okay.
And that's why I'm willing to look at what they have done, because I don't want to be repetitive. But it's a
Sure.
lot more complicated geology than previous people who have not had the experience know about. So I hate to have the whole board get into a financial and the community difficulties because of problems. Anyway, I'll leave that for you. Stop by sometime, Beth, and or Lisa and Eileen, you're welcome too, and we can talk a little bit more about the detail of the kind of work I do. There may be some fee involved if they want me to actually look at the core cuttings because of my microscope ability and knowledge of the area. Anyway, just throwing that out there and let you do what it has, and we'll see what materializes.
Well, thank you for your willingness and your help, and I know you know this stuff, so that's not an issue.
Right. But I just want to make sure that they're aware of where landslides have happened and can continue to happen, even where they build it. And also, the foundation on which the present reservoir is built on is potentially very likely to slide. So I would like to see what the core reports say. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Okay,
No.
thank you, Alan.
I'd
Brilliant.
like to see the report too, Alan.
Yeah. Well, I am in no rush. Okay. I'll be here. I live here.
Thank
Bye bye.
you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Are there any more public comments? Are there any board member
It
comments?
looks like Beth is
Oh,
swimming.
Beth. Oh, sorry, Beth.
Sorry, I didn't get my arrow up.
Exactly. You're going to need those again.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? I found the ones with the colors and everything just the other day. I just had a question for Teresa. I'm assuming that this potential RFP for project management falls in within the intermediate procurement range for Oregon's procurement procedures.
Well, I asked specifically Shannon about what I needed to do there, and he said as long as we advertised in a local paper for the position, that would cover the requirement for FEMA. I don't know about Business Oregon.
Well, no, I'm talking about the state of Oregon. Just the state of Oregon has procurement standards that you have to meet depending on the size, the cost of something. So over.
Until I get a written up scope of work and a proposal, I can't tell you what the cost is going to be.
Well, it will probably be over 25,000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the intermediate range is 25,000 to 250,000. So can probably kind of assume it's going to be an intermediate
Yep,
procurement
I would hope
instead of a
so.
small. Okay. So then, you know, I think from looking at the Oregon requirements for that, you just pretty much need to attempt to get three quotes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, but yeah, advertising would be a good way to document that, like,
Yeah,
look, we
FEMA says
tried,
I
even
have
if
to
we
average.
don't.
Yeah, FEMA says I have to. And that's why if I get the quote from Verdantis and I get the quote from Northwest Natural, and like I said, my attempt will be probably to go directly to Adam Denlinger and try and get that third quote, then sounds good. I'm glad you're keeping us honest, Eileen. And Eileen, Beth.
Well, yeah, well, that's probably why if you were talking to Shannon, that's actually Oregon. He's probably familiar with Oregon procurement, so, and FEMA,
Yeah.
whatever they might
He should be
require on a
anyways.
federal level. Yeah. So, okay, that was my only question.
Great. Thanks.
Do we have any board member comments?
None for me.
I want to thank Kelly again for the board summaries. That's a huge help and a huge heavy lift, and I really appreciate it, and I'm going to keep thanking her every meeting. So thank you, Kelly.
It, Lisa. Yes, thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly, and thank you for volunteering to be part of the budget committee. Really
I
appreciate
know.
it. Well, both you and Beth, of course. Yeah. So
Yes.
hopefully there'll be another one or two people.
I hope so. I
Yeah.
hope so. But you're always a good sounding board, so you keep us on our toes too, Kelly.
Yeah, you do. You ask questions that I would never think of.
Yeah,
And
so.
I so appreciate that. Are there any more comments? Okay, I'm going to stop recording because it's 7:01 and Eileen wants to go at 7 o'clock.
Thank you very much for keeping it to an